Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikulskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Sean Parnell. He's a best-selling author, and he was also a retired U.S. Army infantry captain. He regaled us with his tales of his military time in his best-selling memoir, Outlaw Platoon, and he's now a novelist, and he's back with his second novel. This is in his Eric Steele series. This one is called All Out War, and it's available now wherever your fine books are sold. Sean, I know the second series into the book, we're not that far in, so it's not a big stretch for people to go pick up the previous book, but kind of set it up for us, what you want, what they should know about Eric Steele going into this.
Yeah, well, so when I initially got out of the military, I realized that there was a significant gap between the people who enjoy freedom on a day-to-day basis and the people who protect it, and I realized the job of capturing the legacy of my troops was going to fall to me, you know. And so I just set out to write a book. You know, writing was never supposed to be what I was going to do with my life, but I wanted to make sure that I gave Americans the ability to read about the heroism of my men and pass it down from generation to generation. Well, that was Outlaw Platoon. It came out, and it was a bestseller, and it gave me this amazing platform to write fiction. And after Outlaw Platoon came out, I realized yet again that the gap between warriors and civilians in this country was a significant one, and I started brainstorming ways to try to bridge that gap a little bit and help Americans understand what makes American warriors tick. And so I said, you know what, I'm going to try to take a crack at writing a fiction novel, you know, writing a political military thriller. I've wanted to do it my entire life, but that's sort of where the inspiration for Eric Steele came from. Eric Steele is written in the image of the heroism that I witnessed on the battlefield from my own troops. And so my first book, Man of War, I start out by creating this character, Eric Steele, and I really put him through the ringer. And I somehow, some way, I'm able to write another book. I've got my second Eric Steele novel, An All-Out War, coming out, and it's just overwhelming that I get to write fiction for a living. But yeah, I think giving context to how Eric Steele was, the inspiration behind him is important.
When you write a book with this type of a character, there's a lot of fiction writers out there that do this who've never served, and so they have to do a ton of research. Is your research already done for somebody like Eric Steele, or as a novelist, do you have to go and research an Eric Steele type of soldier and kind of get your ducks in a row before you put the pen to the paper?
You know, that's a great question. I mean... So Eric Steele is a character, and not just Eric Steele, but every character in my book have been on my mind for years. I mean, these I've always wanted to write these books. Again, I never really thought that I had the ability to do it. I've always been a huge fan of fiction, so it's always been a dream of mine to do it. So all of these characters, to include Eric Steele, have always been on my mind. And something that I really wanted to do with Eric Steele is we are sort of in the age of the anti-hero, right, where, you know, heroes in this book have a dark side where they drink too much, they smoke too much, or they're haunted by, you know, ghosts of war or something like that, and they're having nightmares at night. All that is compelling and certainly real to it. It's certainly real. Many soldiers experience that stuff when they come back from the war. But what I wanted to do with Eric Steele was create a character that embodied the greatness of my soldiers, who is good, right? And so he goes through, put him through the ringer in the first book, and then again in the second book. And so I think when you start a character as good, I can take the reader along for the ride with him to show a change in his character or a decline in his character, or when you put him in impossible situations where there's really, it's no win. How does he act in those situations, and how does that change him? So in terms of research, I don't have to research a specific soldier to do that. Eric Steele's sort of always been on my mind, and I've been mulling over the conflicts that I'm going to put him in for years now.
I think there's some readers out there, well, I know there are because I talk to them, who just have this aversion. I don't want to read military fiction. It's complicated. I don't want to get into it. And I always try to explain, you know, the military stories are part of the story, but the way the characters develop is similar to a lot of ways characters develop in other stories. Do you sense that in talking to readers, that there's somehow an aversion to people think the military stuff is just too complicated to read in fiction?
Absolutely. I mean, and to a certain extent, it can be true. I mean, sometimes there have been times when I was a kid where I would pick up a military thriller And by the way, I love Tom Clancy. I mean, Tom Clancy was one of my inspirations for wanting to do this. But toward, later in Tom Clancy's career, some of his books, and they were, by the way, all massive, huge bestsellers, but all of his books, the technical specs that he would get into, whether he was talking about a nuclear reactor on a sub or the way that a rifle fires, I remember as a kid thinking, oh my gosh, I just want to see what this, what the character's going to do next, you know? So there is, I think people are right to sort of say, wow, I don't want to dive that deep into all the technical specifics of these weapon systems. So what I try to do in my books is give each audience, you know, I give the tech junkies that just enough tech that I think would make them satisfied, but I don't want to overwhelm them with, I don't want to overwhelm them with it, you know, overwhelm people that just want a good story with that stuff. And so I sort of see where those people are coming from, but I feel like my books, I really try to walk that fine line between technical and tactical specifics and character development and plot movement, right? So I think my books are sort of like 33% of each of those things, you know, the fine line to walk. But, I mean, I think at the end of the day, you know, the goal as a writer and a storyteller is to write a fast-moving, fun story. And so you never want anything to take away from that. And so I would say for people that are afraid to sort of pick up a military thriller, I would say, you know, I get it. I feel your pain. I do. But if you pick up one of my books, those fears aren't warranted when you pick up one of my books. My books are just sort of, I like to think that they're action-packed, fun stories with good characters.
When Eric Steele was created in your mind, did you envision him for multiple books, or was this a kind of a surprise that he came back for a second book?
Well, I mean, I guess in the world of, you know, like the big leagues of publishing, you know, the next book is always a gift. You know, in a perfect world, like I'm sitting there dreaming of this character, Eric Steele, and yeah, in my mind, it's like I get to write him like, you know, Tom Clancy gets to write Jack Ryan, or Vince Flynn gets to write Mitch Rapp, you know, but, you know, instantly comparing yourselves to the kings of the genre is not the most healthy thing in the world. It's not an analogous comparison, but in my mind, yeah, I would love to, I always dreamed of having Eric Steele for multiple stories, but I have to say that when I got the opportunity for the second book to come out, and then I'm 25,000 words into the third Steele story, and then there'll be another one after that. I have to say that is, it's overwhelming. And so, you know, this genre is tough. It's a tough cutthroat. This fiction genre is crowded. It's a tough cutthroat business to be in with a lot of phenomenal writers. But, you know, there's a place for Eric Steele out there, and the fact that I get to write more books with him in it is just, it's just a gift.
Well, it seems like so many of these military hero books, the names all seem to just match their character. Eric Steele does it for me. Jack Ryan with the Clancy series, those types of things do it for me. How long did it take you to name this guy? Because it seems like you just nailed it. This guy couldn't be named Bobby Smith.
Oh, thanks. So get this. The name behind Eric Steele. So I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. This is Steel City, right? I'm a huge Steelers fan. And I always thought it would be cool to have I always loved the last name, Steel, right? And as I dreamed of writing fiction, I always thought I'm going to write my character's last name is going to be Steel. And then we in Afghanistan for 485 days, it was honestly hell on earth. There was a time where I wasn't sure I was going to come out alive, you know. And I remember we got this new brigade commander in, and his last name was Steel, and I was his Colonel Steel, and I was just like, you know what? If I am lucky enough to make it out of this country alive, I'm going to do everything that I can to make my dreams a reality. And come hell or high water, I am going to name my main character's name is going to be Steele. It was like that moment for me. It was like fate, if that makes sense. It was like it all came back home that this was going to be my path. Like that, I've always dreamed of doing it, you know, but I feel like most of us have dreams in our mind that are lofty, aspirational things that maybe we think in the back of our heads that, well, you know what, probably won't be real. But when I saw that colonel's name, he steps off the bird, the last name Steele, Steele, I was doing it. Come hell or high water, I was going to write fiction if I were going to be blessed and lucky enough to make it out of that country. And so after I settled on the last name Steele, I feel like I had to come up with a good first name, you know, because I couldn't name him Forged Steele, you know, because then it just gets cliche or sort of stupid, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So I think that Eric tempers the last name Steele a little bit, so it doesn't feel like, you know, his first name is Lightning or Bolt Steele or something crazy like that. So,
well, and Eric could be an accountant or something like that too.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
So it's a good yin and yang. So this has to be, I would think, as a fiction writer with the background that you have, it's got to be frustrating going through the editing process. And I don't want to start a fight with your editor or anything, but you know, when you write something and they say no, change it to this, you've lived this life, so you know what it's like. So what's it do to your ego to get feedback on people who haven't had the same background you do, and there's just things you know that other people don't?
Yeah, oh my gosh, what a great question. You know, I would tell you that if you are an aspiring writer and writing fiction is what you want to do for a living, you got to ditch the ego right away because there's just really no room for it. Man of War, right? It came out 6 years after Outlaw Platoon was published. The reason it took so long, the reason that lag time was there is because I had to learn how to do it. It was so challenging. And what do I mean by that? I mean, writing 100 pages into a story, sending it to my editor, David Highfill, who, by the way, is amazing, and him to say, you know what, we're not there yet. And then doing it again and again and again. So what you see on the page in Man of War is the fourth or fifth iteration of that story to where I wrote 100 pages, had to start from scratch. Wrote 100 pages, have to start from scratch. The issues that my editor had with earlier versions of these Steele stories were less about my knowledge of the tactics and weaponry and more about the economy of the words on the page and what's expected stylistically from thrillers in the year 2019, you know? So it was a lot about having to get, like, the format right, the plotting right, like, the themes right, the characters right, and making sure that, you know, that it's written in keeping with some of the best thrillers out there today. And David Highfill was, you know, having his feedback throughout that process was invaluable to me. And one of the things that is so critically important for young writers is, like, for me, it's like I came into this with Outlaw Platoon, which was a bestseller, right? And so, but that didn't mean anything with regards to writing fiction. You have to start completely over. So as is the case when I think you walk into anything new in your life, a new career, the best thing to do is just to go in with big eyes, big ears, listen, be humble, self-effacing, understand that you don't have all the answers. As good as you think that your stuff is, the fact of the matter is when your editor sees it, it might not be that good and you might have to change it, you might have to edit it. And as a writer, you have to be willing to do what's necessary to elevate the story. And sometimes that's recognizing that, hey, I don't have all the answers. And this is why I always say, you know, to in interviews or to other aspiring fiction writers, all creativity is collaborative. Everybody has a say in the direction and azimuth of your characters. So listen to those people and take their feedback because all those people want what's best for you and for your characters.
It's almost like a military mindset where, you know, the troops, and you're not always happy with the final product, but you're doing what the group decides is the best for it. Is that kind of how it is?
Yeah, it absolutely is. It absolutely is. Like, so for Man of War, my first ending for Man of War was I had to rewrite the whole ending, you know? I liked it a lot. I thought it was perfect, a perfect resolution of Eric Steele's journey in the first book, but it wasn't right. It wasn't right, and I talked to David about it. He thought it was too dark. He thought it would leave the readers on a down note, and sort of what's expected in these thrillers that the readers put the book down and say, okay, the good guy won, and there's more in the terms of subplots that maybe haven't been answered, but they're going to be answered in book two, and that's why I'm going to stick around for these stories. So I had to rewrite the entire ending. I mean, look, you know, it's like not only did I have to rewrite the beginning of the book five times, I also, as it, before, when it was done and turned in manuscript complete, I had to rewrite the ending as well because it just wasn't right. And so, you know, yeah, it is sort of like, you know, David Highfield is the commander. He's the boss, you know, and, you know, I have a say, and I know that I have a say, but he's been doing this a lot longer than me. I mean, for God's sake, he edited Lee Child's The Killing Floor, which is one, I think, one of the best thrillers ever, you know? So I trust David Highfield. He's got his finger on the pulse of this genre. And so, you know, my hope is just that someday, you know, I'll be at his level in terms of bringing a level of understanding to these books where I won't need that feedback. But for now, I take it and I appreciate it, you know?
When you have these conversations with your editor, do they have the same respect for you as an author that you do for them?
I think so. I feel like my editorial team, the entire team at William Morrow, has done so right by me. I'm a true believer in everything that they bring to the fight, and they work really hard for these books, you know, from the social media person to the salespeople who try to get these books in department stores like Walmart and Costco and Hudson Books. I mean, and to publicists, to media people, to David Highfield, who is an executive editor at William Morrow, reads every one of my books. He doesn't hand it to one of his assistant editors. He is in it with me. So I have absolutely no complaints whatsoever with my publisher, and I really think that they do everything that they can to bring every asset that they have to the fight with regards to publishing these books. They're just so, yeah, I'm feeling the love from them for sure.
Before I let you go, I got to ask a very important question. Season over under win total, Vegas says, is 9 for the Pittsburgh Steelers this year. Where do you put your money?
Oh, so I love where the Steelers are this year because I feel like most of the people in the league are saying, okay, Steelers lost Antonio Brown. They lost Le'Veon Bell. They're not really going to be a threat this year. And that is the Steelers' sweet spot. Anytime people believe that the Steelers aren't going to do well, these are the years where they actually go to the Super Bowl. And so they play like they have a chip on their shoulder. And I have to tell you, everybody in the city of Pittsburgh, they are so glad that Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell are not part of the team anymore because they were just poison in the locker room. They really didn't fit the cultural expectations of what a Steelers team was supposed to be, you know. For Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, and I'm not ashamed to say it, they made it all about them. But Steelers teams, the championship teams from the 70s and a couple of Super Bowls they won later on, they were team, right? They were a team first, and they didn't really have any one player that stood out from the others. They just it was their team effort that won those championships. And so I feel like most of the people are glad to see Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell gone, and I think we're ready for a fresh start this year. And I mean, look, if it's me, I always think the Steelers are going to the Super Bowl every year until they don't. So fingers crossed.
I've grown up a Cubs fan, so I know that feeling. Hey, before I do let you go, tell me about your foundation.
Yeah, so after Outlaw Platoon came out, I was really blessed to join this charity that was founded by a mortgage company of all things, like called Fairway Mortgage. They founded this company, and their CEO basically said, you know what, like these military guys, men and women, they served us. It's our turn to serve them. So they fund our overhead. It's called the American Warrior Initiative, and 100% of our donations goes to veterans and first responders and their families. And, you know, what we've been focusing on the last couple of years is service dogs, you know, getting service dogs into the hands of our vets, and it's been a pretty amazing thing to be a part of.
All right. Well, that's a wonderful charity, and this book was an amazing read. It's All Out War. It's the latest novel from Sean Parnell. It's in his Eric Steele series, and sounds like there's more and more to come from that, but go pick this one up. And you know what? It's only the second book in the series, so if you haven't read the first one, go pick that up as well. Sean, absolutely great talking to you as always, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the time.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.